This week is Parshas Tetzaveh. So God commands Moshe to tell the Yidden to bring him olive oil, special olive oil. Even though last week in the Parsha of Terumah, it already says when God says to Moshe, V'yikro elecha Terumah, that they should bring V'yikroli l'shmi, and it says this Zois Hashem, this is what they should bring, Zav, Kesef Nechoshes, gold, silver, copper, and so on, and lists all the things, and it's one of the things is Shemen Lamor, should bring oil for the lamp. But here we have a new command. And the Medrash Tanchuma, which is also known as Medrash Yelamdenu, because very often he'll begin a parasha with a question, Yelamdenu Rabbeinu, teach us, O Rebbe, what is the halacha of such and such? Sometimes you get an answer, and sometimes it's obvious, just a rhetorical question. So this week, the Sedra begins, Yelamdenu Rabbeinu, Koton Lekama Nimoil. At what age do you circumcise a child? Kach Shonu Rabbi Seinu, this is what the rabbis taught. Koton Nimoil Lishmoina. A child is circumcised on the eighth day. Ma Tam, what's the reason? Kishem Shinimoil Yitzchak Avinu. Like Yitzchak was circumcised on the eighth day. So then Reb Shimon Bar Yochai says, come and see how precious this mitzvah of Milah is. It's even more precious than his son. What does he have that's more precious than a son? And he takes him and he circumcises him. So Reb Nachman Bar Shmuel comes and says, you know why he does it? He does it just to do the will of God. And he sees his son bleeding and crying and this, and he accepts it upon himself with joy, with simcha. Reb Chanina comes and says, and that's not all. But you know, he also spends money on the bris milah, and if he has to pay a moel, he pays a moel, and he makes that day oiso hayoim shel simcha, and he actually makes it a yontif, the day that he makes a bris for his son. Mashalo nitztavo. It's not even commanded in the Torah to make it a yontif, and he makes it a yontif. Then the Medrash says, v'loy oid, and it's not just that. Elo odam hoylech v'loy ve'ume mashkin atzmoy. A person goes and borrows money. He doesn't just spend money. He goes and he pledges stuff. He takes to the pawnbroker his silver becher, you know, in order to get money to be able to buy bread, challis, and food for the su'udah of the bris. And he makes the whole day into a simcha for everybody. So then Reb Yudin comes and he says, when is a child most precious to the father? When he starts to speak. He brings a pasuk from Yirmiyah ben Yakili, Ephraim, Yelet Shashim. My favorite son, Ephraim, he's the child that I play with. When do you play with a child? When he's 3 or 4 years old. So then Rabbisna, this is sort of, as the Medrash goes on, this is all this first opening Medrash in the Tanchuma. Rabbisna says, God says to the Yidden, please, do for me what I do for you. I feed you, so I want you to bring every day a sacrifice. I wash you, so I want you to have this laver in the Mishkan, in the temple, where you wash your hands and feet. And you know, I anoint you with oil, so I'd like you to anoint each of the meal offerings with oil. And so on. I clothe you in tapestries, so clothe me in tapestries. I put shoes on, so give me these leather coverings. And it records out the final one is, I walk in front of you as a cloud, by day and at night as a pillar of fire. So please light for me a candle. Savas b'nei Yisrael lahal yisner tamid. So the Medrash, this is how this Medrash ends. So command the Yidden to raise every day a permanently a light. So what's the connection between the opening here? First of all, everybody knows how old a child should be when you do a bris milah, and why dafke connection with Yitzchak. Then Oysdesha, the son of the Ishbitzer, spends a lot of time with this Medrash this week, and he points out how the different levels when the Medrash goes, and not just this, he doesn't just make a simcha, but he also spends money, and he doesn't just spend money, but he also goes to trouble, to pains, and puts stuff in hock in order to make it. He says these are the three levels of the Torah says shemen zayis. It has to be olive oil, not just any oil. Zach, it has to be pure. Kusis, it has to be beaten. So these are the three levels, and he discusses how each of these things comes about. But without going into all the details of what the Nois Desha says, there's a few things that really stuck out. He says, what is this Medrash all about? It's all about light. And, God says, I light for you, so light for me. What does that mean? How can we light? What can we do that would be light? That would be oir, as far as God is concerned. And oiri mashrei, well, God doesn't need our light. So the Medrash says, the metaphor for light is mila. It's very strange. What does that mean? So it brings Rav Shimon bar Yochai. The first is Rav Shimon bar Yochai, who says, look how precious a child is to the parents, and he circumcises him. And Rav Nachman says, like Yitzchak. The thing about Yitzchak, why he's different, why not like Avraham, or Yishmael? The thing about Yitzchak's bris milah is that he didn't know anything about it. And that is something, it's a mitzvah that we all do with the same kavona. When it comes to davening, this person has really, really, really deep kavanot. And this person's, thinking about how he's going to pay the rent. What's the baby thinking about? You could say that a child having a bris milah today does it at the same level that Yitzchak did it. Almost everything we do, we say, oh, well, we can't compare, with our ancestors, and, we can't compare with our Moshe, the Yidden, and the wilderness. Who could, right? We've all got these reasons for why you can't really compare what we do today with what people did 3,500 years ago. Well, something? There's one mitzvah that we do today that does compare with what happened thousands of years ago, and everybody can achieve that, and that's the mitzvah of bris milah. And that those bris milah is a metaphor also for those things that we are done to, those things that happen to us. And somewhere in there is the light that this Medrash is trying to get at. So there are different levels. So first of all, he says, he makes it, he does it with simcha. Who does it with simcha? The parent does it with simcha, the child doesn't do it with simcha. Right? So, there's an interesting tour in the laws of Kibud Av V'Em. The Torah says, he opens up the laws of honoring your father and mother, and he says that when a person honors his father and mother, then he brings the Shekhinah down, not on himself, but on his parents. Because really God is the parent as much as one's parents are the parents. And you know, you notice that in the Ten Commandments, the command to honor your parents is on the right side, right? It's among the first five, right? So, roughly speaking, you could split the Aseres Adibros, the Ten Commandments, into Bein Odom Lamokom, between man and God, and between Odom Lechavero, between man and another man. So, honor your parents is on the side of those mitzvahs that with which you honor God. And the Balat Turim says that when you honor your parents, you mamish, you bring the Shekhinah down to dwell in your parents. Because by honoring your parents, you're really fulfilling the command of honoring God. God says, how can you honor me? By honoring your parents. Then at the end of that first Seif, he says, you know how you honor your parents? By being meshamish them like a shamus. Like a servant serves his rebbe. So what does that mean? You clean somebody's shoes, you clean out the toilets, you sweep the floor, you do the washing, you wash somebody's clothes. Those are the things that a shamus does, a servant does for his rebbe, right? So the Balat Turim has said this really thing, that how do we bring down the Shekhinah? You know, you don't bring down the Shekhinah by necessarily by some exalted act. But in fact, you can bring the Shekhinah down by, you know, cleaning out a bathroom. When it's not for yourself, when you don't mind bringing down the Shekhinah for somebody else, then it doesn't matter what you do. If you want to bring down the Shekhinah on yourself, well, then you have to be ready. You have to be a mishkan. You have to be a dwelling place that is fit for the Shekhinah, right? But I can go to the bathroom and wash the floor in my parents' house, and in doing so, I bring the Shekhinah down on my parents. The mitzvah of Mila is a similar kind of mitzvah. So there's a Gemara in Masechet Megillah. The Gemara says, the Megillah we told, La Yehudim hoisa oiru v'simcha v'susim v'kar. For the Yidden, once the miracle had happened, there was light, there was simcha, there was joy, there was susim, rejoicing, vikar, and there was preciousness. Omer Rabbi Yehuda, oiro zu toiro. Light, that's toiro. V'chein oime kinei mitzvah v'toiro. There's a pasuk that says a candle is a mitzvah and the toiro is light. Simcha, what is the simcha that they had there? Yontif. V'samachtu b'chagecho, you should rejoice in your festival. Sosoin, what was the rejoicing? Mila. It says, Sosonoichi alim resecho kamoitzi sholarov. Say by a bris, I rejoice in your words, referring to Mila. Vikar, what's preciousness? These are the tefillin. It says all the nations of the world will see that the world is, word of God is on you. The name of God is called on you and they will fear you. So the word Nikro is the Yukar. Rabbi Lezar Goda says this refers to the Tefillin. So here we have the idea that Mila is Sasoin, Yontif is Simcha. One time many years ago, I was in Reb Julian's house and somebody was giving a Torah, I think it was a Torah Reb Nachman. And while he was talking, I had this like blazing flash. The Megillah tells us that after the first feast that Esther made for Achashverosh and Haman, Haman went home Sameach v'toiv lev. He went home with Simcha. We know from the Megillah itself that these are very high spiritual levels. Like, why would Esther want Haman to have Simcha? The Megillah tells us that Haman came home. On the way home, he sees Mordechai. Mordechai won't bow down to him. He goes nuts, and he comes home and tells his wife, and he calls all his friends, and he tells them about his great wealth and about his many children. Just Mordechai is a thorn in his flesh. So his wife tells him, you know what? You should make a gallows 50 cubits high and go ask the king's permission to hang him. And then you'll hang him. Then tomorrow night you'll go to the next feast with Esther and Achashverosh. You'll feel really good. So there it says that Haman told him about his great wealth, Veroiv Bonov, and his many children. So that sort of gave me a clue, because we know exactly how many children he had. This is Aseres b'nei Haman. There's a Gemara. The Gemara says, "Mibnei Bonov shel Haman lamdu Torah b'bnei Brak." That some of the great grandchildren of Haman taught Torah in b'nei Brak. So, I don't remember where I saw it, but I saw somewhere, or maybe I didn't. But there's a Gemara in Tanis. The Gemara says, "Mishenechnes Av mematim b'simcha." When the month of Av comes in, we reduce the amount of joy. And then, Omer Rabbi Yehuda b'Reid Rabbi Shmuel b'Shilas. Rabbi Shmuel b'Shilas says, in the name of Rav, just like we reduce the joy in the month of Av, when it comes the month of Adar, Marbin b'Simcha. So, in Adar, there's an inyan of increasing Simcha. So, who's this Rav Shmuel b'Shilas? I've been looking for it all day to find out where the Mokar is, and I don't think I can find it. That one of the grandchildren of Haman, who's teaching Torah in Bnei Brak, that's Reb Shmuel b'Shilas. And he's the one who teaches this famous quote: when Adar comes, you don't have to wait for Purim to have Simcha. You can have Simcha anytime. So Purim, Adar, there's a special mitzvah of Ribui Simcha. So I wanted to say that Esther could see in Haman the spark of holiness, of joy. And so long as he had it, he was invincible and invulnerable. He didn't know he had it. He was a miserable man, right? He was a rageaholic. But somewhere inside him there was this holy spark. And until that holy spark had somehow come out into the world, there was no way that he could be killed. So Esther brings him to this Simcha, to this Mishta, to this feast, and she puts into him, or opens his ability to experience joy. And he goes home Sameach. And then he tells his friends all about Roiv Bonov, most of his children. The word Roiv can also mean most of, because there was still a child that was still to be born. And that night, in his Simcha, this neshama of Reb Shmuel b'Shilas was conceived. So once Zeresh was carrying this baby, then Haman no longer had this spark inside him, and then he could be destroyed. And that was the kavana that Esther had when she raised him to this high madrega of simcha, in order that it should be released and she'd move on, and then Haman himself could move on. So here in the Sedra this week, we're really being told something about simcha. You know, all these years we've been learning together, one of the things that we've been learning is that water is a metaphor for desire. So what's oil? Oil and water don't mix, right? Oil's the opposite of water. By Noach, it says, when she brought him when the dove brought him the alezais, brought him the branch, the olive branch, it says, Vayeda Noach ki kolu hamayim. He knew that the waters, you know, had lifted. Because the mayim, the waters, and the oil, they don't mix, right? So, what's he telling us? The mabul, the drowning, you know, we know that Vatimola Eretz Chomas, that the earth was filled with robbery, and that the whole world had become corrupt. We know many reasons that are given for the flood and the destruction. But the destruction was with water, right? So it's mida keneged mida. Right? So there was no order in the desires that human beings had evolved before the flood. The oil, the remez, the hint that Noach gets, that of all the things, that the first thing that he sees in the world before he's even allowed out of the ark is something that doesn't mix with water. It's the oil, the shemen's eyes. And then he realized, kikolu, that it had lightened, that the desires that had been experienced before the flood were not the same, that now there was something else. And that, what is that something else? When in our desire we can see things that we couldn't see before. That's light. That's the real meaning of light. Without wanting to, like, you know, belabor this metaphor, but then when it comes to Chosn and Kala, we talk about Simcha. Sameach Chosn v'Kala. Even though we bless them with Gilorino, Ditzo, Chedva, Ava, Achva, Shalom, Reus, right? But we keep on blessing them with Sameach, because Sameach Acho Yitzircha Began Eden Mikedem. There's this Inyan of Simcha. This Inyan of Simcha is here with the Mila that we find in the Medrash Tanchuma that we brought right at the beginning, right? The great Simcha that comes out of Mila, and that somehow that this is connected with the light. This is connected with the aura, because that's the beginning of the Medrash, and the end of the Medrash is God says, you know what, make me light like I made for you. So somehow I feel like this needs to be tied together, that the oira, it says La Yehudim Hoysa Oira, this is Toira. We know that Toira is one of those things can't be acquired without pain, like Bris Mila. Simcha, we have here in the Medrash that Simcha, this is the Simcha of Sasanoi Chalim Rasecho, that when a person has a mitzvah that they can do for somebody else, that's the biggest Simcha of all. That's the Yontif. Knowing that I can bring down the Shechina for somebody else, that is the greatest simcha of all mitzvahs. And even the truth is, like the Medrash says, you know, the child is crying, child's bleeding. But I know I'm bringing down the Shechina for somebody else, not for me. And if it's not for me, then even something, you know, that's not nice, it's also okay. Even if I have to do something that's really painful, it's also okay. Sosoin vikar. Not sure how the mitzvah of tefillin comes in, but it's interesting how the Chachamim see ki shem Hashem nikra alecha, that all the nations of the world see that the name of God is upon you, and they fear you, right? And you know, we're still waiting for this to happen. There's something here that still needs to be unlocked. Mishenechnes Adam Marbin Besimcha. What does it mean to be in the light, to be in the simcha? What happens if a person has trouble finding simcha in themselves? How does a person find simcha? Well, if simcha is like mila, then it's something you have to do for somebody else. You know, maybe all those people, you know, they say that comedians are very often, you know, very sad people. You know, making somebody else laugh, right? And maybe that's something inside. Like I once heard from Rabbi Twersky, I don't know if it's a joke or it's an apocryphal story, about the man who came to a psychiatrist in the days when psychiatrists weren't even called psychiatrists, and he said to me, "Now I'm so sad, Mamish, I don't know how I can't go on." And the doctor said, "Look, you know, last night I took my family to the circus. We saw the great Gonzo, and Mamish, I'm telling you, if you go there, he'll cheer you. It's so funny. It's just pure joy." And the man said, but doctor, you know, I am the great Gonzo." So sometimes we can't find ourselves in ourselves the joy, even when we're doing it for somebody else. Sometimes I can't find the presence of the Shekhinah, even if I want to bring down for somebody else. So there are some mitzvahs that come about through, that you can only acquire through hardship, as the Gemara says. Reb Shimba Yechoyah says that Torah nikras bi yisurin, Eretz Yisrael nikras bi yisurin, Olam Habo nikras bi yisurin. These are the things that are so hard to acquire. Why is Eretz Yisrael so hard to acquire that it takes so much pain? Because Eretz Yisrael is also a metaphor, you know, the land of Israel. What is the land of Israel? It's this having a place to be. Amalek will always come and tell you, or try and tell you, this is not your place. You're not going to be comfortable here. You don't have a right to be comfortable. What are the things that prevent us from being besimcha? I feel like I have no Torah. I feel like I have no place. I feel like I have no future. So these are the things that the Torah tells us, v'yikro elecho, Shemen Zayis Zoch. First of all, we have to understand that Shemen Zayis, that it comes out, the light comes out of Shemen Zayis. Shemen Zayis means that the water and the oil, they're not mixing. That all I need is a little drop of oil, and I've already created a space where there's no water. A person can be in that place where his desires don't have to trouble him all the time. And I can be, and one of the meanings of oir is lux, that there's a luxury in being in that space. And then zoch means transparent, right? And really, there's a great freedom that comes from pusher, from being transparent, from being able to see through from one side to the other, that every part of the person is visible inside and outside. No secrets. Kosis lamo'or, and this is, if a person realizes that the hardships they're going through, that like the Medrash says, why Why causes l'amour? Because you know how you make oil? You take the olive and you put great weights on it and you hit it with sticks and you bash it and you smash it and you crunch it up. And the Rabbanim says, you see, chevre mayidelach, they're a little bit like that. You know, they don't start to give their light until some goy comes along and makes it hard for them. And for all of us, you know, all of us, everybody has to struggle a little bit in their own way, some people more, some less, to find the pure olive oil, to find that place where a person is not always being troubled by the desires but can really focus on what they want. It's a struggle in itself. Vayove Amalek, and Amalek comes, and this is what Amalek tries to disturb. I want to bless you and me just to be able to see the Shemen Zayin Zoch V'yikro Elecho, to bring it to Moshe Rabbeinu, the Chochmah inside each of us, and then each of us can feel La'yehudim Hoysa Oyre V'simcha V'susim V'kar. We should experience each in our own way the Torah, the Yontif, the Mila, the Tefillin, and we should have a really beautiful Yontif, a beautiful Purim. We should reach that level of not being able to discern the difference between Mordechai and Haman, because we should reach above into that place where the Simcha and all the souls are united together. And bless you with a good Yontif.